right place, but it must have been the wrong time.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, adults of all ages, this is your friendly Pinhead 198 back with a new episode. And this time we've got some shit to talk about. We'll get into Collision because AEW Collision was actually fantastic. It was one of the best episodes of anything AEW has done in the last 2 years. Not to completely knock AEW. However, this was when AEW's when they're firing on all cylinders, this is the amazing content we get. We got a fantastic opening match, which was almost an hour. It was clocked in at 58 minutes and 32 seconds. It was a battle from toe to toe. And I don't even like Bullet Club Gold like that. I fucking hate Juice Robinson. He's fucking stupid. He's a brain dead, limp dick, googly eyed fuckwit. And I can't stand him. Jay White, he can come or go. However, those two and FTR put on a clinic, a match of the year contender. Only second, not I even say second, neck and neck with the MJF Bryan Danielson match at, what was the pay-per-view? It wasn't Revolution, it was Double or Nothing, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to remember, there's been so much shit over the past year, but the Iron Man match that MJF and Danielson had was fantastic, and this is on that level, especially when you consider this is not a pay-per-view, this was a broadcast television show for Collision on Saturday. This was fantastic. And the other stuff wasn't too bad either. My girl, I love Willow Nightingale. I will champion her until the day I die or until she retires or until she gets into WWE, because she's WWE material, especially when you consider that woman's got charisma. She's just fun. It's nice to just see her with a smile. Even when she's wrestling, she's still smiling. She's just a bottle of energy just released, and it's just, she's so, I'm glad she won the Owen Hart championship over Ruby Soho. Fuck Ruby Soho, she's grot on a good day, so fuck her. Thank you, Willow. And we got a rap from Ian Rigabonny, you know, that was it was a good rap. But you know, for a dad, you know, you got dad jokes. Well, we got dad raps now, so, which is cool. It was fun to, and you know, him and Desmond, Desmond calling him Vanilla Arse. you're like Vanilla Ice, but more like Vanilla Arse. it was an overall great Collision. So, excuse me. Okay, we might as well just talk about it. I mean, the match was fantastic. FTR always good, but when I can be impressed by Juice Robinson, the loose Juice Robinson, and Jay, I'm so mediocre, paint on the wall drying is more exciting than me, White, you got a match of the year contender in my book. So, great match. Good match between Ruby Soho and Willow Nightingale, and then we got the Ricky Starks versus CM Punk match, which I don't understand why. This is my only fucking criticism and pet peeve. It's not even about me being a CM Punk fanboy. Ricky Starks has barely been babyface for maybe, if we stretch it, 4 to 5 months. Now we have to do the heel turn. Ricky Starks won the male edition of the Owen Hart Classic or Cup or whatever you want to call it. And it was by cheating. And then he began to make an ass out of himself when he left the ring and was given the cup with flowers. And so this is the indication that he's being turned heel already, which is ridiculous. You're letting a lot of people down. My mom was not happy with that, but now she's on board. She's like, I like the heels now. I'm like, because of Ricky. When MJF was doing it and everybody else was doing it, you hated it. But now you're a fan of the heels because of Ricky, because she's a diehard Ricky Starks fan. And there's a lot of Ricky Starks fans that are diehard out there that you shouldn't have turned him heel. This is nonsense. You should have pushed him to the moon as a babyface, as a charismatic, almost anti-hero type of babyface, but you didn't do it. Now we got to go back heel. And when he was heel last time, especially when he was in the Nation of fucking Taz with the FTW belt, fuck the world championship belt, that's not a recognized belt, by the way. Even Tony Khan says this, not out, only outside, but inside the AEW game. Whenever you win the belt, we don't recognize it, so I don't know why you have it. It's just a fucking prop. So, good for you. But the point of the matter is, the last time he was babyface, it was the drizzling shit. Heel. The last time he was a heel, it was the drizzling shit. He wasn't a believable heel. The only reason why he got away with it is because he had charisma. He was charismatic. He's good looking. He's great in the ring. He has all the factors needed to be a really good babyface, but you think that putting him in the heel territory is the way to go. This is the incompetence of Tony Khan. You have a great babyface on your hand that could set up, that could stand toe-to-toe, that if he got a contract in the WWE would work. But you're going to throw it away because, you know, for shits and giggles. That's the shit that gets really fucking old, and it drags great shows to an absolute screeching halt and makes you go, why? Why? We had a fucking hour and 45 minutes of fantastic wrestling. Why do you want to finish the last 15 minutes of this shit in the grot field drizzling shit territory? It doesn't make any sense. And it needs to stop. This is not that hard. But barring that minor critique and rant, Collision was fucking amazing. It was better than anything anyone did. Not just including what AEW with Dynamite and Rampage. Because they're phoning in the Rampages and especially the Dynamites, because tonight, as we record this, is the Blood and Guts match where it'll be a fucking three-ring circus. Everybody will be busted open. Shit, someone's probably going to get hurt because of reckless nonsense. And this is where we'll be. But leading up to that, this is the best thing that not only AEW, this is the best thing anybody's done. WWE can't even touch this shit. I know they tried with their Natalya Rhea Ripley match, and this shit ain't, nothing is touching what AEW did this past Saturday. It was just, if we could get more, I wouldn't even care about Dynamite. If we could get collisions like that on a weekly basis, I'm not talking about we have to have Match of the Year contenders every fucking week. But just give us something good, just an overall great show. Please continue to do that. You'll see the fucking ratings skyrocket. You'll see more people come into the arenas, because this is the wrestling that they want. When a grouchy old fuck like me can praise it, you know you're in the right direction. Continue forward. Don't go 10 steps backwards on the next Saturday Collision, or Dynamite for that matter. You got a heavy heap of hurt coming your way if you don't live up to this Blood and Guts tonight on Dynamite. So you better step it the fuck up, because you guys were overshadowed by quote-unquote Punk's AEW show Collision. They overshadowed you tenfold, so you better step it up tonight. I'm not just talking about the Blood and Guts. I'm talking about with the excitement, with the entertainment, with the announced team. The announced team was better on Collision than they have been on Dynamite. It's time to step it the fuck up. Please. Longest intro I've ever done. So thank you. We got the Collision out of the way. We're also going to talk about the Flash, because I just watched that. and Mollum, which is a remake of The Last Shift, which was one of my favorite horror movies in a long time. It was very creative, and especially when you consider the budget they had. Yeah, this was a 2015 movie. It's a cult classic in the horror community. It's a horror mystery. A haunting masterclass in fear and dread. I would agree with that. One of the best supernatural thrillers in years. That these are the praises that The Last Shift was given in 2015. Well, the director pulled a Funny Games and did what the Funny Games director did and remade his own movie. It's called Mollum now, which is, that actually is relevant when you actually see the movie. I don't want to tell you what Mollum is, but Mollum is the name of some major character in the horror movie, but we're going to talk about that and how it compares to The Last Shift. I'm going to talk about The Flash. And at this point, then that point will be wrapped up because we've already spent almost 12 minutes on wrestling. When wrestling's good, it has to be given its praise, and Collision was fucking fantastic. So let's start with The Flash. The Flash. Ooh, boy. Okay. Oh, and I'll also talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 because I didn't do that, in my opinion on it. We'll start with The Flash because DC doesn't get enough love, apparently. This movie, when I first saw it, I hated it. I saw it a second time, and it's serviceable. It's not terrible. It is not the worst movie of the year. Even I retract my statement. I've said Indiana Jones beat The Flash for that. And I don't see anybody beating The Dial of Destiny for absolute shit, as far as, especially when it comes to summer blockbusters. Unless you motherfuckers try, there's no way you're going to be able to beat Indy and The Dial of fucking fuckery. There's no way. So this movie is not on that level, but there are some things in here that are just fucking stupid. The visual effects, I get what Andy Muschietti, well, when he's in the chrono ball, you're seeing it through his perspective, so the visuals are going to be wonky. That's fine, Andy, you get away with that for that, but it doesn't explain the shitty visual effects that happen outside of the fucking chrono ball. So nice try, Andy. I love you, bro. I really do. I think you are one of the top people as far as the future of this business. You and Denis Villeneuve, you're both in that running, but my friend, that does not cut it when you have shitty CGI. If you can't do the CGI, then don't do it. If you're not willing to put the money in for the CGI, then don't fucking do it. You know, not that bad. Watch the baby scene again and then come back to me and tell me that it's not that bad. There's a scene in the fucking movie at the very beginning when Flash is saving the day because a building collapses, a hospital building, which I'm assuming because there was a maternity ward in there, so I'm assuming this was a hospital. Definitely wasn't a fucking bank. But there's a scene where the hospital collapses and babies fall out, and we get this whole scene, and some of the babies just look fucking, you not only can tell that it's CGI, but it is horribly rendered CGI that makes you not only roll your eyes, but you go, get the fucking barf bags ready, because this is nauseatingly bad. Where did you guys put all this money? Did you put it up your nose? Are you so fixated on having your heads in the cocaine bag that you just, your drug addiction is so high that you can't put the money into the actual movie, you put it up your fucking nose? It's getting a little ridiculous now. And DC is not the only, Warner Brothers is not the only one guilty of this. Marvel is extremely egregious of this shit, and it needs to stop. Where are you putting the money besides up your nose and in your fucking pocket? And maybe a couple up your ass. The shit needs to stop. It looks fucking, it takes you out of the movie, and it just, yeah, okay. This is what we're doing, huh? Okay. So, for that aspect, it gets major, Doc. There's some funny moments I won't even cap. There's a lot of funny, but there's also some just cringe. And I mean Super Saiyan level, like, Super Saiyan 4 levels of fucking cringe in this movie. Especially when it comes to Ezra Miller. Further making my point come across that Zack Snyder, one of, if not the biggest mistake Zack Snyder ever made, was wanting to have Ezra Miller cast as the Flash, because he's fucking putrid as the Flash. And he's even more putrid as fucking Barry Allen. So that got annoying, especially when we got the double Ezras, where one was a serious man because he knows what happened to his father and his mother and why he's going back to the Flashpoint paradox and causing time shifts so that he can save his mother from dying, so that his father won't be thrown in the penitentiary accused of his mother's murder. And we get it. So you got the straight man, Ezra Miller, Barry Allen, and then you got this overly obnoxious, over fucking excited, over fucking enthusiastic Barry Allen, that is the king of douchebags. And he even makes an acknowledgement of it toward the, not the third act, we're getting like the second half of the second act as we're approaching the third act. He makes a fucking comment in the fucking movie that he is an obnoxious douchebag. But I'm excited. I don't know these things like you. Yes, I'm obnoxious. Like, the character, literally, they didn't do it, but almost Deadpool pans to the fucking audience and looks at and breaks the fourth wall and goes, yeah, I'm an obnoxious fuck. You know it. I know it. Let's move on. No. Just stop being an obnoxious fuck. It's not that hard. I'm an obnoxious fuck once in a while, and I know how to tone it down. He's taking it to levels where you just want to see his head cracked open with a fucking sledgehammer. Because he's that guy where you're just like, okay, dude, shut the fuck up already. We got it. We fucking get it. Just shut the fuck up, you brain dead zombie. So those moments in the film make me just want to pull my fucking afro hair, my curly afro hair out. But there are some good moments. There's some good moments with Michael Keaton's Batman. I hated his fate. And I won't spoil it for you, but I think, judging from my tone of voice and what I said, I think you all know what's going to happen to Keaton's Batman. But that was some good stuff. He fucking moved his ass and whooped some ass. I loved seeing Keaton in the Batman suit again, whooping ass and taking it, stomping a mud hole in people and walking it dry, as good old JR used to say. Those were fantastic moments. We had more of those, I would have loved the film. Ben Affleck's Batman finally got a Batman arc where you were like, this is fucking fun. It made me want to see a full-length Ben Affleck Batman film. We're never going to get it, because we need to keep getting the grot-drizzling shit material like Blue Beetle and a new Aquaman. Ooh, you know, whoopee. But we got a couple of minutes of Batman, Ben Affleck's Batman, being a badass motherfucker, riding the bat cycle. It was fucking fun. But there's just too many moments where you're like, okay, let's move this shit along, please. It's 2 hours and 34 minutes. Because nothing can just be an hour and a half to 2 hours, 2 hours flat. It just, we got to tack on the time, and Guardians, will get to you too, because you're exceptionally guilty of this shit. Because I think your movie's like 2 hours and 40. We'll look it up officially, but it's too much for nothing. If these films were saying something and actually doing something and progressing the story forward, you could have made this shit 3 hours and I would have been fine. But you guys are saying nothing about nothing. And I will say, the young lady playing Supergirl, Kara, she's fantastic. I loved her. But then again, you start to talk about, I want Henry Cavill as Superman. Why couldn't he? Well, we got Supergirl. Who the fuck cares? We want Superman. We don't give a fuck about, you know, his cousin from Krypton who was sitting in the fucking trailer home waiting for him to go blast off so she could go and take care of him. But because they... shockwave from the bomb, the explosion of Krypton knocked him off course. Now, Superman, like, who cares? We got a fucking subplot of, okay, the reason why Superman's not in that world is because Zod intercepted him and Kara was able to get there, but Zod intercepted him for the blood so that they could reestablish Krypton. They killed Kal-El, the baby Kal-El, and took his blood and found out, yeah, we killed the fucking little bastard for nothing because his blood isn't the fucking blood we need. We need yours, Kara. And that's why the plot hole, or not the plot hole, the movie plot fucking shit goes sitting in there, because that's where the, that's how you write her in. Your blood is the blood we truly needed, and now we're gonna harvest you so we can terraform Earth and turn it into new Krypton. Nobody fucking cares. We just want to see her beat the fuck out of Zod, beat the fuck out of the other Kryptonians who were rebels. She was fantastic, but the material she was given was very, very light. It's like a fucking light salad. So I don't even know how that ended up being the way it is, but she was fine, and she's very attractive. Even with her short haircut, which I don't understand. Maybe because she's Latino and long, semi-long blonde hair is not, that's associated with white women, you know, because no other ethnicity can be blonde, but, you know, white women, sure, sure, we'll go with that. But overall, she's got a great look. I'm excited to see what she does outside of, I wish she could be Supergirl again, but, you know, James Gunn and reasons, that's not gonna happen. So, you know, here we are. Overall, The Flash got a 64 on Rotten Tomatoes, an 83% audience score. It's pretty high. I wouldn't go that far, but hey, you like what you like. Overall, this movie wasn't terrible, but for me, it's a C-. It's serviceable. It's a nice watch if it's on HBO Max. If you have HBO Max and it's on the background, if it's there, watch it on there. Don't pay for this shit. Wait for it to drop on Max, then watch it and state your own opinion. If you've already seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe you loved it. I don't know. But for me, this just wasn't, it wasn't horrible, but there were some really obnoxious moments where you just, you wanted to run your fucking head through the wall. I know I did. So all in all, I won't even give, I'll give it a little C+, because C- is almost a D and deserves a little more than a D. However, overall, it was just like a lot. And the ending, a certain other Batman, we lose one Batman and we get another Batman from, without spoiling it, but most people know George Clooney made it fucking cameo, but the ending is fucking terrible, and I'll stick by that. The ending is horrid. Absolutely horrid. Especially with that reveal at the end where you think he's gonna go back to his timeline and get Ben Affleck, Bruce back. Nope, that's not what we had to do. We had to do a cameo. A rotten cameo that nobody fucking would have cared about and doesn't care about, because it didn't move the needle. A cameo by George Clooney. Ooh, goody. And they leave it at that, as if we're gonna get another Batman. We're gonna get another Flash film in this iteration. Which we're not. Because James Gunn is taking over and he's cleaning house. So why you even bother to set up for that? And don't tell me, well, they had it set in your head that they might get a sequel and a Snyderverse might. No one even fucking thought that, especially as many times as this film has had to be made and redone because of studio interference. Nobody thought in this iteration that The Flash is getting a sequel, unless you are licking paint. Then you might think that shit, but no. So I don't want to hear this shit that they were setting up for the sequel that they're not guaranteed to get, especially now that the movie bombed. Especially the money they put in for the budget. It was a bomb. Okay?
They made 200.
Yeah, the budget was 350. That's a failure. Try again. It bombed. So there is no sequel happening. Not in this iteration. Not unless Warner Brothers enjoys blowing fucking money for nothing. Then that's their stupidity. So, all in all, there were some major mistakes made that just make you go, this was an entertaining film, but you made so many stupid mistakes. The shitty CGI that is completely unacceptable in anybody's realm. Not just mine, in anybody's realm. Even a regular modern, just regular Joe Schmo moviegoer. This is unacceptable. That's why it gets a C+ and not, you know, what could be a B-, B-plus even film. It's dragged down by these things I just went over. So let's move on to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which clocks in at 2 hours and 30 minutes. Another movie that is too long in the teeth. It's like, why are we doing this over and over and over again? Enough is enough. Overall, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was, it was fine. I enjoyed it for some parts. Rocket Raccoon's origin story is kind of heartbreaking. It's fucked up. Especially when you consider, I don't care if it's fake or real, I don't like shit that has to do with animals. And especially when you consider he's a raccoon, he's a badger, he's a hedgehog, he's a garbage pig. Like, they name so many things off of what he's supposed to be in this entire movie alone, other than what he is. That gag keeps going. Like, everybody continuously fucking puts him aside like he's a common garden roach or some shit. And it's a running gag that gets real old real fucking quick. But overall, it was fine. It was good to see everybody have their finished story arc. Although, it can be argued the Star-Lord Gamora shit was, and that's not a spoiler, they showed that shit in the trailer that Gamora is still alive by an explanation that can only be quantified as absolutely blind, stupid, doodah, dumbass, fucking garbage. I won't even ruin it for you. You can see for yourself the fast, and I mean, they acknowledge it quick, like, to where they're like, don't mention. It's almost a don't mention that. Well, why shouldn't we? You guys have her in, and she was dead the last time we fucking saw her. Why is she back? It's like a Cracker Jack box fucking explanation. You got a prize, and there you go. That's the explanation you're given. And you're like, once again, I roll my eyes. That's, as we used to say, average, middle of the road, lazy booking that you didn't even have time to write anything but what you got. And that's a major doc. Because she's a major focal point in the movie. It'd be one thing if she was just a cameo, but she's a major focal. She's in, for all intents and purposes, she's an honorary Guardians of the Galaxy member in this movie for what they have to do, especially to save Rocket. The whole movie's about saving Rocket. Rocket's the origins, and you're seeing young Rocket. Rocket, with Bradley Cooper, he's in it for maybe 20 minutes in grand total, because the movie is a fucking globetrotting movie to go through the galaxy to find the shit so that we can cure Rocket and save him from death. I think you don't need to know that, a spoiler, he don't die. Nobody fucking dies in this movie, really. They tease that shit, who's gonna die? Oh, I don't know if it's that Rocket, eat my mom. Oh, don't kill my Rocket. Oh, better not be Star-Lord, better not be Trevor. Nobody fucking dies. People go on about their business. People move on. Star-Lord goes to visit his grandpapa and eat fucking Honey Nut Cheerios. or Raisin Bran or whatever the fuck he was eating. Just for us to be told that Star-Lord will return in a new adventure, a solo adventure, if you can drop the bag to Chris. And then we got a new formation of the Guardians, which will be Guardians of the Galaxy Light, kind of like Bud Light, a swill that you don't want to really drink unless you're absolutely desperate and have nothing else on the fucking table. That's what the new Guardians reminds me of. They're fucking Guardians B team. So we ended with that. And that's not a big thing, because most of this shit was spoiled for most people going into the movie. Rather, before the movie was released or 3 weeks after. Most of you guys out here know this. You've either seen it or you've heard the dirt sheets tell you this shit. So it's nothing special. This movie is not a rush out and buy it. It's a rental at best. But my recommendation is just waiting until it drops on Disney Plus, which will be very soon. Because the physical copy is coming out the 1st of August. Which is not that far from us right now, especially as we record this episode. So I just say, you know, wait for it. It's not a terrible movie. Once again, like The Flash, I think I like this a little bit better than The Flash, which I can't believe I'm going to say, because especially after the last Marvel movie, Ant-Man and the Quantum Fuckwits, which was absolute dog shit, and it shouldn't have been released. This was a step up, but this was a better movie than The Flash, but by a small, small margin. If The Flash gets a 78%, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 gets a 79 to 80 at best on a good day. So it's a 79 to almost a B minus, a low, low B minus. And that they get because of the Rocket Raccoon shit. They do dirty tactics to tug at your heartstrings and make you go, why you doing it to Rocket? Even my soft ass now, why you doing it to Rocket? So, yeah, you know, you get what you get. Marvel usually phones it in. This will be their last good movie. From here on out, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's going to be dog shit grot city for Marvel. So don't even waste your money anymore. The Marvels will be shit. Blade will be shit. The new Avengers will be shit. It's all gonna be dog shit. And with the writer's strike, oh, happy day. Yay. Your Hollywood asses might be going into the fucking sea like the lost city of Atlantis. So buckle up, fuckwits, because you put yourselves in the corner, and now the writers and actors have had enough of your shit. And you may not get anything back. You may have to start going out and hiring some fucking cruise ship dinner theater actors to even break fucking even. Because you idiots, especially in the studio system, fucked yourself into the corner. And I'm happy about it. It's what you deserve. Phoning this shit in. Given lackluster scum bum fucking shit that nobody wants. Go fuck yourselves. You deserve to burn. And lackluster movies like this that should be blowing up the world. I should be giving A pluses to The Flash and Guardians. Because you got the budget. You had the writers. You had the actors to do it. But you just didn't want it. Because you're fucking lazy. Lazy fucking bums. Who should be out on the street sucking dick for nickels instead of making millions and billions a year. You should be out there forced to suck dick for nickels and barely getting by like the rest of us do. Because you're cock-sucking pieces of dog shit. You have beaten physics because you guys managed to suck ass and blow dick at the same time. God, I hate Hollywood, and I'm glad you guys are falling. But that's that, you know. That's my rant on that. Guardians of the Galaxy is like a low B minus, pretty much high C plus. Wait for it on Disney Plus. Not the fucking $30 shit either. I'm talking about when it's free and part of your subscription. So, that being said, we'll move on to the final topic, which will be The Last Shift. Which, telling you, that movie is fantastic. Which has been turned into Malum. I'll be pretty brief about this because I got limited time and, you know, anyway, I don't want to go on and on and on and on and, you know, gush and blow my load in and shit like I'm a schoolgirl waiting to get her, you know, a prom girl waiting to get her pussy blown out by the prom king. But this movie was good. Malum's good. There's some subtle differences. Obviously, they do cast changes because they need to, and then, you know, diversity. That's always the way to go. But the cast of Malum, I think there's a couple people from the original, too, that are in it, but overall, the cast is new. Let me look it up. Jessica Sulu is Jessica Lawrence. She's the main character of the first one. And pretty much the movie, without really spoiling it, it's about a woman who is a rookie cop who's doing her first shift on the last shift of a current police police station, excuse me, that has been completely shut down. They've relocated and moved all the police and the police station to the other side of the town. So now she's stuck in this abandoned police station with only a phone, because they still have to get dispatched out there because they're not fully equipped over at the new police station, which makes sense. So they still have to get calls. But they have to be, you know, little penny-any shit. Someone, a cat's in a tree, or someone, you know, fucked grandma, and now she's run away or something. You know, something light, even though that's not light. but she's stuck in this abandoned police station, and the story is, without spoiling it, because this is a movie that should not be spoiled. If you want it spoiled, you need to spoil it for yourself by seeing the film. So I am going to do some Tiny Tim tiptoe through the tulips. I'm gonna try and tiptoe through the tulips. Sorry for that brutal rendition, couldn't help myself, but I'm gonna tiptoe through the tulips because you really need to spoil this for yourself. This is it's not as good as the original, because the original just had heart, atmosphere, and a low budget that people were just working on. And now this is just literally, I want to retell my story the way I wanted it to be told in the first place, which I respect that as a director. So I ain't mad at him for remaking the movie, because this is the vision he originally wanted it to be. So I respect him on that note. But it's just not as good as the original. Like, this one's way more flashy. Even though this is still a lower budget film, even by standards, it's got a higher budget than the original, but it's still, by Hollywood horror standards, this is still a lower budget film, but it is more flashy. You can tell more money was put into it, whether it was by studio or crowdfunding. This movie is a lot more flashy. There's more Lovecraftian themes to it, which I wish that would be drawn back, because it's more about, it's a cult. It's about demons and a cult. So the Lovecraftian shit, even though you can try and say that it's in the same, Lovecraftian shit and demons are not the same thing. You may have demons in some Lovecraftian stuff, but Lovecraftian, it's about cosmic horror. This is just supposed to be about straight demons, because this cult summoned demons, and now the fucking police station is not just haunted, but it's possessed by evil. And you have to go through, she has to go through this journey of evil that she has to battle through. On top of the fact, there's a subplot about why she's being attacked, because her father, who was known as a hero, ended up becoming a scumbag on the last days of his life. And that's all I'll say, because if I say any more, it's ruining the movie, which I don't want to do. But there's a subplot with her father and why she is specifically chosen for this spot. Even there's a theory. You could even go down a rabbit hole and make a theory that maybe the powers that be of the police station set her up for certain failure because of her dad and the implications of what happened, and And like I said, I know I'm being vague for a reason, but I think you guys should go out and see this. Melum is, let's see, because I've got it up here. Because you could only rent this right now, or buy it, which don't do. Okay, just don't do that. However, let's look at what the cost would be to rent this, because I got it up. Sorry, I just got to find it first, but I think this is a solid rental, depending on the price. Fucking bitch, I'll just look it up. Depending on the price, I say this is a solid rental, so. Renting it right now through Amazon or Vudu or whatever you do, the price. Malum is $3.99. After tax, it'll be like $5, $5.29, but that's worth it. It's highly worth it, so. That's worth a $5 rental, I say. Highly check it out. It's one of my more favorite movies of the year. Like I said, it's not as good as The Last Shift. However, with the improvements they made, and some of the demons look fantastic. Like, that's why I say it's a little more flashy. To be quite honest, if you haven't seen it, The Last Shift is where you can go. And if I'm not mistaken, I'll make sure right now before we wrap this up, I'm pretty sure The Last Shift is on Tubi. That's where I saw it. Am I correct? You can see this. Come on. Don't be a bitch. Last Shift. Yeah, you can watch The Last Shift on Tubi, which is completely free of charge. Which reminds me, everybody's like, the rumors are Tubi's going to start charging $9.99 a month for a premium. Nope, they debunked it. So Tubi has been free, and as far as the foreseeable future, according to the CEO and the creator, they are not charging. It is staying free, just a vicious rumor. But they debunked that shit, so you can see Last Shift. I highly recommend that more than Malum. I would say watch them both, to be honest. But if you want to see how it originated, you can see it, The Last Shift. It's Last Shift, not The. It's just Last Shift on Tubi for absolutely free. So check it out. That one's an A+. And Malum, I would give B. It's not terrible. It's actually one of the better remakes, but of course, you got the guy who's remaking, the guy who made the original movie, remaking the new film. So, and like I said, I'm sorry guys for being so vague, but I want you guys to spoil this for yourselves by seeing the film. When I mention a horror movie, it's usually a good recommendation. Not to, you know, toot my own horn, but I like to try and recommend horror movies that I think the listeners of this show, or anywhere else, whether I'm on Filmmaker Mike and the Boys or just talking to people in person, I try and recommend horror movies that I think, well, not only is at this point, we got to get out of this scary shit. Horror movies aren't scary, especially if you're an older person like me, you're a grown adult. Hell, half these fucking things don't scare these children and these teenagers, like 13, 14. So we need to get out of that mentality. Now horror just needs to be solid creep factor, have you on edge, not necessarily scared, and just have a good story. And this, the Last Shift is definitely one of those that it can put you on edge, and it has a good story, and it's very well put together, especially when you consider it's a low budget horror movie. It's not budgeted like these fucking Conjuring movies and The Nun and Insidious and all these other movies that have the advantage of having a higher budget than these guys do. They did a fucking fantastic job. Not just with Last Shift, but Malum as well. So I recommend both of them. But I highly say go to Tubi and see the original first. And then you can decide for yourself how it goes. So, very, very good movie. I was pleasantly surprised. I've just been having I had a vacation recently, so I was able to catch up on a lot of films that I didn't think I would get to see. I still need to see Mission Impossible, Dead Rednecks Part 1. You know, for the uninitiated, Dead Reckoning, but Dead Rednecks Part 1, oh God, I want to see so bad. Everybody's just raving about it. I know I'll get there sometime. If I don't, then I'll just buy it on digital and add it to my collection, because I already have all the Mission Impossible films. And a little side note, I have the Mission Impossible series. So I am a big Mission Impossible fan. I even like the old series. The old series is, it's a special nostalgia thing with me and my grandpa. Rest in peace, Donald. I miss you, old man. He got me into Mission Impossible. And then when the Tom Cruise movies came out, I've been a fan ever since. So I might even be a bigger Mission Impossible fan than I am a James Bond fan. And that's saying a lot. So I was able to see these movies except for Mission Impossible. I saw Bo is Afraid. Briefly, I'll go over that. I already did a review on Filmmaker Mike and the Boys. So if you want my full review on that, you need to check out Filmmaker Mike and the Boys on Spotify. But overall, Bo is Afraid is a fucking mindfuck movie, and I highly recommend it. And this is an Oscar bait film. Just like Napoleon will be for Joaquin Phoenix. I think he's got 2 Oscar bait films. But this is a different kind of Oscar bait. This is a bizarre, fucking over-the-top, like, weird, it's a minute under 3 hours. And it is a trip. And you're either going to love Bo is Afraid, or you're going to absolutely hate it. There will be no shades of gray. This movie is just cinema, art house cinema. And one thing I got to warn people, they're telling you that Bo is Afraid is a horror thriller. It is not a fucking horror movie. I understand Ari Aster is the director and writer of this movie, who did 2 previous horror films, which Hereditary I don't hate as much as I used to, but his masterwork right now is Midsommar. Those are 2 horror movies. Make no mistake about it. Do not let any fucking person tell you. If they do, they should be punched in the mouth and their teeth busted the fuck out. This is not a horror movie. This is a movie about trauma, about guilt, about complacency. It's about not holding yourself accountable. There's a lot of themes in this movie, but horror is not it. There's 1 horror element in it where there's a scene with a ball penis creature. And it sounds absurd, I know it is absurd, with fangs and 2 tentacles hanging out. Like, that's the best you could stretch that this movie's horror. Other than that, it's bullshit. And you motherfuckers out here need to stop lying to people and getting them in there, because you know the horror movie fan base gets you a lot of money, you crooked fucks. You need to stop labeling shit like The Lighthouse and Bo is Afraid and all these other horror movies that aren't horror movies, labeling them as horror movies so you can grift extra money into the box office. You should be ashamed of yourself, and you should be kicked right in your cock. And if you don't have one, you should be kicked in the bento box, because this is nonsense. It's dirty pool, and it's a shitty practice to gouge and grift money out of people who otherwise wouldn't have seen the movie if you hadn't called it a horror movie in the first fucking place. So knock the shit off, you stupid bastards. And that's my rant for that. All in all, that's all I got, because we've already gushed about those movies and we've talked about Collision, and I don't have much more, especially considering we're on a writers and actors strike, so this show might be coming to a screeching halt, because that is also going to affect horror movies. At the very least, it's going to piss a lot of y'all off who don't like wrestling talk. We might be getting into more wrestling talk, because wrestling never stops. It's not unionized. It goes all year round. And the only time it stops is when someone gets hurt, and then they just dust them around, bring a new person in. So it'll never stop. So this might be turning into a wrestling podcast here pretty soon, because with the writer and the actor strike combined, whoo, we're going to have some real slim pickings when it comes to every genre, including horror. Maybe in October it'll ramp up, because we got the Five Nights at Freddy movie. Hooray for that treat. We're all looking forward to that. I know I'm not. But we're still going to see it, and we're still going to review it. But I think this October, with this writer's strike, it's going to be a heap of hurtful horror. I don't give a fuck about the other genres like Marvel and all the other shit. I'm talking about my horror. My horror is even going to be affected by the new Scream movie. Going to be delayed. I don't know what's going to happen with the Alien movie, because it's done and it's scrapped. It's done and it's in the bag. It's already done. It's ready to go. But they can't promote it. So even if it's not coming out until next year, this strike could go on. I'm telling you, the way these guys aren't budging either side, whether it be the studios or the writers and the actors, this may not be going on until this time next summer. So that's a harsh reality all of us are going to have to start facing. And like I said before, fuck them. We don't need them. We have a huge archive of stuff we can watch that they can't take away from us, that you can watch yourselves, especially if you got a nice physical media collection like I do, which I know a lot of y'all do out there. Fuck them. We can sustain it. And we need to support these guys, because the actors that are going through this and the writers that are going through this aren't the big budget Hollywood actors that'll be okay. It's the little man actors, and we need to stand by them. Fuck these studios. These studios are pieces of shit. Multi-billion dollar studios that don't deserve this shit. Fuck them. We need to finally, once and for all come together and stick it right up their ass where it belongs. Fucking bums. But I already went on a rant about that on Filmmaker Mike and the Boys. So anyway, that's the end of that. I don't know what the next content will be. I'm just giving you a warning. Who knows? We got video games coming out, so that's good. We got Starfield approaching, and my personal, because it's horror, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game. We will be playing that and reviewing it, especially considering it will be dropping on Game Pass. Which I have. I will be playing that and reviewing that. So that might be in August. That might be our next episode, because that'll be the new content. So anyway, I've rambled on and took enough of your guys' time up. I love you guys. I really do. For those of you who are still listening, keep your head up, and I'll be back when we got something new. Love you guys. Peace.